Everyone has to make their path in life, and that's exactly what this new podcast, Echo Walks, is about. I'm Mariana, and I'll be hosting this next episode. Echo Walks is about embarking on a journey, about passion, and mostly about the importance of not standing still. I'll be interviewing interesting guests about where they come from and what got them to where they are now, and where they want to head out next. I hope you'll enjoy the walk and be inspired. Hello and welcome to the second episode of Echo Walks. I'm really happy that Markéta Lukoškova, writer and author of the podcast Stories That Really Happened, has accepted our invitation. It's a pleasure to welcome you on this tour and walk.
Hello, good day. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for accepting the invitation. I follow Markéta on Instagram. I enjoy what she does because she does a lot, and I don't understand how she can squeeze it all into 24 hours. Now I wonder, what do you enjoy doing?
These days I enjoy relaxing. I don't have much time, so when I have any, I'm glad that I can enjoy it somewhere where it's calm so I can relax. Otherwise, I love spending time with my dog, and more recently my cat, a rescue cat, and then, of course, with my boyfriend. I enjoy renovating our new house in the village. It's already taken 2 years, but it's finally coming to an end. And I'm really looking forward to being there. At the moment, I'm working on the finishing touches, how it will look, and so on.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, because I saw that you'll be moving out to the village. You now live in Prague, if I understood, but now that's where you'll be moving to, out to the village. What made you decide to move so far away? Is it really off-grid or not?
Well, I don't think it's off-grid. It's a small town, actually, so technically speaking, it's not really a village. There's about 500 inhabitants. There's a post office, a kindergarten, a pub, a grocery store, and also a playground. A football one, actually.
Well, those are essentials.
They also hold the district football championships there, which I find to be pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
So back when I first got together with my boyfriend, we agreed that we've always known that we really don't want to live in the city. We decided that we wanted to live in a village when we get older, and so what I guess it's basically now. And then we started looking around and we found this, which we really liked. It's a 200-year-old house with a huge garden with plum trees out the back. There are about 15 trees, and we've already had our first year's harvest to make plum brandy.
That's convenient.
So we fell in love with it here, and I think that during these last 2 years, when we were both locked up at home during the COVID crisis, well, this showed us that we didn't need the city that much.
I think that's what many people have realized. I can feel it myself. I've always wanted to live in the city center, but now I can escape to nature as well. And you're also a passionate runner. You're in the outdoors a lot. Is that a way for you to relax as well? Or tell me, how do you most often spend your free time?
Yes, definitely. The forest is a place for me just to recharge. Now we live on the outskirts of Prague. It's not far from the forest, so when I can, I try to manage it early in the morning. I take my dog and we go for a walk in the forest for about an hour. Then when I can arrange it during the day, I go for a run as well. It's like a restart for me and truly a perfectly peaceful moment during my otherwise hectic day. So I find that time in the outdoors, in nature, even though it might sound like a cliche, it really does make one's life better.
As a writer and podcast author, you work from home, but I saw that you also have a new office in the city center. Where do you find the motivation to work? Because I work from home myself, and I find that it's really difficult to find the motivation sometimes. Was this perhaps the reason you rented the office?
Yeah, definitely. Now that we're renovating the house, we're living temporarily in a studio, but this makeshift arrangement, well, it's been going on for 2 years now, so it's just crazy. In May, when I needed to finish my last book, I felt that I also needed to change my environment. And a friend of mine, who owns one of these beautiful places in Malastrana, he told me that he just needs to have someone there and that they can give me a free desk to work from. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll take it. So I'm really happy with it there, and I can go there when I need to change my workplace. I can focus very well when I'm there. It's very nice and pleasant, and I'll certainly keep this place in the future. And later, when we're living in the village, I'll still have a place in Prague that I can work out of or book meetings or something like that.
I saw that you wrote a theater play. How was it? How did it go? How did you even get to it?
This happened during lockdown, when an editor from Czech television approached me. She had a group of actors who wanted to do something different other than their normal or expected theater performances. And they wanted to have someone write a Czech play for them, something original. I had a dream at that time to try out something like this, so the timing was absolutely perfect. It just clicked nicely for me. We agreed, and so I sat at home and started writing a play. Then 2 years passed, and we began to rehearse. Wow, synchronizing the diaries of 10 people who all have their own commitments. It just wasn't easy at all. But I'm really glad that it's finally moving somewhere now.
And you also have your own podcast, Stories That Actually Happened, and now you have a book coming out. What stage is it in now?
It's set to open on the 22nd of September.
I would like to say that I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, well, you would know something about this because you're the godmother of this book.
Yes, I know something about it.
So the book is almost out. It's now in the production stage. So now the fun part begins. I'll be walking around and saying to everyone everywhere, buy this, buy this.
That's my book.
It's the best. So now all's good. But I'll tell you, it was very difficult before the summertime when I was finishing it up. The time when I just couldn't sleep, I had it all still in my head, and I just really needed to get it all out.
How did you even start with podcasting, writing books, posting on Instagram? Could you describe how all of this happened for you?
I've discovered that the best things happen to me when they come to me on their own accord. As soon as I try to force something, it just doesn't work. So it was exactly the same with the book, because back then, what happened, I was approached by an editor. She sent me a message asking me if I would like to write a book because she knew how I wrote, she knew my articles, and, well, she just liked my style, what I did. So I said, yeah, why not? So I've learned that when the opportunity comes around, that's better for me than when I try to search it out. And that's also important when I accept what comes for me as natural. That there's a potential problem for the future, Marketa, how it's all going to turn out. But luckily, it always does. It's always fine. So that's when it all started. And the podcasting started when I was bored during lockdown, when I thought to myself that I could start telling these stories in some other way than just writing them down.
So it started during lockdown.
Yeah, sure. It was 2 years ago.
I thought you'd been doing it longer.
But for the first 6 months, I was doing it with just a few people in mind, I think. And then when it started to get in motion, I started to get subscribers to my podcast. And now it's kind of a full-time job.
I love your podcasts, and so does my mom. I've tagged Marketa recently through her stories. I was sitting at home studying, and suddenly I heard Marketa's voice coming from the next room. There was my mom listening to the podcast about Elvis. So my mom is also one of your loyal listeners. What are your plans for the future? Because I feel that some incredible things have happened to you and that you've done so much so far. Is there anything else you dream about doing? What else would you like to try in the future?
Well, my plan for the future is not to get too crazy caught up from all of this, figuratively speaking. I really want to try to stay grounded because I feel that everything is going on pretty well right now, and things that I've been dreaming about are just coming true. So I pray that it just sort of stays that way, and hopefully it just doesn't get to my head too much. And then I also plan to stay in the little village, so work in my study and look through my French windows into my garden and just enjoy it all a little bit.
And when you're writing, I imagine the scene from the movie Love Actually, where he works in front of the window with a typewriter. You don't work on a typewriter, I suppose. So what do you need when you're sitting and writing a book?
Well, I suppose everyone has these idyllic visions. I mean, I posted this once on Instagram, expectations versus reality. You know, like a photo of the writer sitting around with piles of paper.
Glasses, lost in thoughts.
And then there's the real me, overwhelmed at the table with my MacBook, exhausted. What I need? Well, sometimes I just need some noise around me. Not something that disturbs me, but I just can't be in total silence. I like to sit in a cafe or to have some kind of noise around me that's not a specific conversation to listen to, but just something in the background, and then it's just fine. But I've trained myself all these years as a writer, so now I'm able to write anywhere. Someplace quiet or noisy, or, you know, just because if you just focus on that one moment for the absolute ideal, well, it's just not always going to happen.
I admire that. I wondered if you had any specific place maybe where you were able to write. When I studied, I had at my mom's place, the chair, the desk, the place where I'm the most focused and can't imagine studying anywhere else. So you don't need a change of environment.
It's not so important anymore. I guess I've pretty much trained myself.
Do you usually record your podcast at home too? Because you were in Normandy and you recorded there.
Yes, well, it's like this. My podcasting studio is now my computer and a microphone. And I'm going to wait until we move, and then maybe I'll fine-tune my study into a studio, soundproofing it and so on. But for now, it's just not like that. But it's great that now I can travel anywhere with it. Usually I record at home, but it has happened that when we're in the village that I could be in the garden, for example. Like, I've got my microphone in one bucket and my computer in another, and then suddenly a rooster crows into it.
It's authentic.
And I was once also recording in a van in Normandy. But it had to be like that because it was an episode about the Normandy landing. So in such cases, I'm just not going to record it anywhere else except where I need to be when I'm there.
Of course, where else? And now I'll get back to those books. I've read them too. I'm a fan. They appeared on my graduate reading lists. What did you think of that?
Wow, I was completely blown away. Each school will have its own list of books to read, so it's not a universal list from school to school. So when I shared this information, well, others wrote to tell me that they have one of my books on their list too, so but maybe not this one, but maybe a different one. I found it great. I found it actually unreal. Me amongst Carl Čapek, Kundera, and so on.
I would love to have you on my graduate reading list. I had on there Babichka, which is not exactly ideal. I liked the movie, but not the book, and older stuff like this. But it's really great that more current books are also placed there. And we were talking about writers. What do you like to read?
Well, everyone thinks that writers are well-read and that they have some kind of deep knowledge or understanding of something.
I think so too.
I would like to say that it's just not like that. I read, of course, but not as much as I would want to because I just don't have much time. And I also found out that I have an issue with my attention span. Hardly ever am I really able to keep reading a book that I start. So the book really has to be something spectacular that catches my attention enough that I'll actually finish it. So you can imagine, I have a million of unfinished books, and it's not a great image really to have.
I feel the same.
But for the book to be interesting enough for me to keep reading to the end, it has to be exciting, some kind of thriller, a detective story. But you know, I also like Czech books that are about relationships. So for example, by Petra Soukupova, and that's the book I'm able to finish in just one day. It doesn't necessarily have to be a thriller.
Regarding the podcast, do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I also like political podcasts. Can I name one? Can I name a few podcasts?
Yes, I think so.
Che se a politica volevo dole. Oh, I enjoy those very much. And I know Bohush and Petra from Ketche, because I worked with Bohush at Reflex. And at that time, he told me he wanted to launch a political podcast. And I thought to myself, oh my God, that's going to be a blabber. But then I listened to it once, and I've been the biggest fan ever since. Recently now, I've discovered Motisla, the girl who does that one. She's also a Marqueta, and she's done it really well, actually. She speaks very smoothly. I would like to be able to do it like that. And then the Slovakian podcast, Vražedné Sike. That's my most favorite podcaster. The 80-year-old forensic psychiatrist, Svetozar Droba, who's just awesome. So, now I'm just thinking here. I listen to a lot of stuff, but I think these would be my favorite ones. And then, of course, there's Sarcastic Coffee. But I'm not sure if you know that one.
Man, I don't.
Yeah, it's just two girls chatting.
Blabber about some stuff. Maybe I'll listen to it. I'll see if I'm in the mood for it. When you mentioned your job for Reflex, where was your starting point for writing? Were you originally a journalist? Where are your beginnings?
Well, my beginnings were in Budweiss.
A native of Budweiss.
Yeah, so after graduation, I went to Brno to study journalism, which wasn't such a great move because it was 4.5 hours by train from Budweiss. And I think there's still only one train every day from Budweiss that goes to Brno. It's just pure misery.
Did you take that train every day?
No, Jesus, I didn't. I still went home once a week. So that was still 9 hours per week on that train, and I didn't know anyone in Brno. Oh, well, a lot of my classmates were going to Prague and almost no one to Brno. So I met some people from school, but I never felt that I really belonged there. And then at that time, the city wasn't really the right one for me. But you know, Brno wasn't the same 15 years ago as it is now.
I like Brno now. Everyone laughs at me because of that, but I really like it.
Oh yeah, Brno's such a great place now. I mean, I was there some time ago and I laughed about it in terms of how it looked in the past and how it looks now, because it's just completely different. But back then it was just plain boredom in Brno. I wasn't happy there. All my friends were in Prague. So I started to go there to Prague just even for one night, sleep there and then back again the next day. And then I started to look for a job there. But so as I was studying journalism, I first wanted something in the field, but I couldn't get anything that would be connected to writing. And then there was also this clothing store that refused to give me a job, even though I only needed to fold some clothes. They told me now, I mean, they turned me right down.
Great motivation for the future.
Well, they tried me out for 10 minutes and then they told me they're sorry, but I just don't have the skills to fold clothes.
So you just folded the clothes in the wrong way?
Yeah, so that was the last straw. And then another last straw was that I was also fighting with my roommates. So I went to Prague with the attitude like, hey, Prague, here I am.
Do what you want with me.
Well, I thought everyone's going to get crazy about me. But it wasn't like that. But I started working. I got a job in one TV news station and I went to my first journalism school. I found out soon enough that you don't need to have college to be a journalist. That the editorial office and life in school are completely different. But that's where I started. Then I floated around for a while in different editorial offices. But the funniest time was when I was working for the website justformen.cz.
Interesting.
And then from there, I went to Reflex. And it was funny, they thought that this boy who was writing for justformen.cz, he's going to be great and he should come to Reflex. And then they found out it's me.
That's awesome. What kind of articles did you write there?
Well, I made fun of tabloids and so on. It was pure sarcasm. It came out of a trend at that time, which was typical for British or American tabloids, that, you know, that they don't write seriously and they exaggerate and just make fun of things. So that's what we did. And I don't think anyone was doing it in the Czech Republic at that time. So that's what made it so interesting. People just enjoyed it.
And then you went to Reflex.
Yeah, I was there for some time and then I went somewhere else. I went to the other side, a media agency. So I went back to media, and then after three rounds of this, I was given the book offer. I told myself then that I just didn't want to go to the office anymore. I just wanted to write and do what I want.
You don't want to get back to journalism.
Well, I wouldn't say anything definite. Never say never. But at this point, I just don't think so. I enjoy writing articles on topics I'm interested in. And I just don't feel like going to sit in some editorial office. No, that's just not me. It just doesn't give me the freedom I crave. And that's what I need when I'm writing books, that I can write what I want.
Where do you gain inspiration for topics of your books?
Well, this is going to sound like a cliche, but you know, I get inspiration from life around me. But I say, well, people often ask me if it's autobiographical.
That's what I wonder.
No, it's not. It's never autobiographical. I use some situations that I encounter, or the last topic of my book was based on an article about a couple who met when they were 18. They told each other that they're too young to be together, and they agreed that they'll meet again in another 5 years. I was so amazed by that idea that I told myself that I really wanted to elaborate on this. So either it's some situation I've heard about, or some conversation I had with someone, or just the idea comes to me out of nowhere, out of the blue. I really can't imagine sitting at a table and just coming up with these ideas. It just doesn't work like that for me. What I described there, these situations, these conditions, they're not the ones I've experienced, but they're ones that others have definitely experienced sometime during their lifetimes. Family relations, your parents facing some kind of traumas, how it affects you, what's going on in your life, and so forth.
Do you have any inspiration for another book? Any ideas that we can expect?
Yeah, I have some ideas. I've had some ideas for a while, but it's been all interrupted by the book that's coming out now. It's not fiction, actually. It's based on a podcast. It's called What They Don't Teach You in History Class, which I guess speaks for itself about something that really happened. But I have another idea for my next book, which will be half reality and half fantasy. But I just don't want to get into it right now, right here.
You won't give away anything.
Oh, I won't.
Okay, keep it to yourself. When we're talking about your podcast, where do you get your information? Have you always enjoyed history? I have to say that I liked history at school when I had a good teacher, someone who was able to explain things in an interesting way, which is exactly what you do. You can catch one's attention and it's easy to listen to it. Even to some basic boring history topic, you're able to tell it in such a nice way. How do you prepare for your podcast? Where do you get your information and how do you prepare yourself for them?
Well, what I think it's important to say right at the beginning is that I'm only a storyteller. That's all. I'm not a historian. I'm not a teacher. I'm not anything like that. Of course, I take advantage of some sourcing and some sources, and I put ideas together, and then I just tell the story my way. But important, I don't make anything up. It's just that my style of storytelling is different. People say my style is like, you know, that they're sitting in a pub with me and just talking with their friends.
Exactly, which is awesome.
Well, it's a fact that I've always liked history. I dreamed about becoming an archaeologist when I was 13.
I had this period as well that I'll be cleaning fossils with a brush somewhere.
Then my dream came true because when I was 15, I had a summer job in Budweis. A medieval graveyard was discovered around a church. So I was there with local archaeologists dusting skulls with brushes and so on.
That sounds horrible. Dusting skulls, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
But, you know, then I came back to Earth. All my parents' friends, ones that I'd known from my childhood, well, they're all working and or have worked or whatever in museums. I grew up around these people, and they told me that being an archaeologist in the Czech Republic doesn't mean that you get to go to Egypt and dust mummies there. It just doesn't work like that. You maybe go to Germany or just to the German side of Šumava.
And would you be happy to do that?
No, I really had to let that dream go. I mean, I still enjoy that idea, but then I found out I'm also good at writing. History has remained my hobby, though. I mean, and then it all just connected up.
Did you graduate in history?
No. I was scared. I was scared I wouldn't be able to learn it all. I took a history seminar. It was the fifth subject that we could choose, but I didn't graduate in it. Now, after 20 years after my graduation, oh my God, wow, that was such a long time ago. That's awful. No, it's not 20 years. It's not that many. 15. Whew. Good. Only 15 years.
How you got scared. 20. Oh God.
Well, I met a great history teacher who had just come from university when we all started our first year of gymnasium. And now he's almost 50. And I'm really happy to see that he's still so keen on it all. And he's also glad that I do what I do. He follows me and so on. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be the godfather of my next book launch in Budweis.
And he doesn't know it yet?
No, he doesn't know.
That's nice. Did you meet anyone interesting because of the podcast? Do you have someone you would really like to invite?
Okay, the podcast is called The Story That Really Happened, but I don't often feature many guests. Usually I just speak on my own, and then whenever I have a guest, I want him or her to share an interesting life story. It doesn't really have to be anyone famous, because that's not necessarily a guarantee of an interesting life. I once had a woman, for example, who grew up in a cult with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm really interested in these kinds of stories. And so because of these podcasts, I also got to meet Mr. Padivets, who is an historian. And I don't want to say it, but, you know, he's my idol. He popularizes history as well, but in a more sophisticated way than I do. He writes books, he records videos, and you know, he's also not a qualified historian, which for me is also very nice. Now though, I'm more focused with more serious topics. I interviewed a young woman, for example, who was abused by a relative when she was a child. I've also had a woman there that was mentally abused by her husband. I do think these kinds of stories should also be shared because they're all part of a life.
What are your plans for the future regarding the podcast? I have a feeling that there's unlimited possibilities. There's so many topics to discuss. Do you plan to record it further and you'll see where it goes, or do you have some specific vision?
Exactly as you say it. I plan to keep recording and see how it goes. That's exactly what works with my life. Thanks to that, I've been part of several really great events, you know, opportunities or collaborative things. I mean, I think I can go further with this until it fulfills me. Let's see what happens.
You said something there, collaboration. It brings me to the topic of Instagram, where you share things and I enjoy following you there. And you have a lot of followers. How did it start with Instagram? Do you like it?
Wait. You say that I have a lot of followers. Well, you also have a lot of followers.
Yes, but I'm really more like an influencer, but you have so many things going on. So the fact that you're active also on Instagram is great. How did that start?
Well, books did it first. I had Instagram before I wrote any books, but then, okay, well, I began to share one photo a week just because I remembered I had Instagram. Then when my first book came out, I noticed that people were sharing a lot about it on Instagram. That particular book, well, it had a colorful cover. I mean, it just looked nice, and so maybe that's why they started sharing it. So I started to be more present on Instagram because I found that, I had an audience there.
How do you deal with criticism on Instagram? Are you used to it?
I think you can't ever get used to it because no one can be that calm enough to accept all criticism all the time. And you know, it's just also difficult to sometimes to distinguish criticism from hate. Well, a lot of people also can't do that. I mean, I have days when nothing can upset me, and then I have days when I collapse from some comment that's been made, even if it's not meant to be critical. So it was important for me to realize that it doesn't automatically mean that it's bad if somebody doesn't like what I'm doing. Everyone has different tastes. That's how I really need to think about it, because while I'm doing things that are being assessed by others. So, I mean, I would really go crazy if I took everything so personally and just didn't stay on top of things. That's all. I guess that's it.
What kind of advice would you give to young Marketa who sits in front of the MacBook and needs to start writing? What is your advice for someone who wants to write a book but doesn't know where to start?
Okay, I remember sitting there when I made a promise to myself. Okay, I'll write how I want, how I'm used to writing and how I like to write, and I won't pretend to be someone else just to be liked. I told myself, okay, hey, they reached out to you because they like how you write, so don't change it now. That's what one should really do, I think. To be authentic is crucial because, you know, people can tell, they can really pick up when you're just pretending, if you're just faking it. Well, then you're just another copy of 10 other people, and nobody really wants that. Stand up for yourself, for your own personality, for your own style of writing. Don't be so influenced by others. Be authentic. Be you.
Okay, thank you very much. We're now at the end of our walk. Thank you for making time for us, and I wish you the best of luck for everything you do. We'll see each other at your book launch and on Instagram, and thank you very much again.
Well, thank you very much. It was really a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
If you liked today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and follow so you won't miss the next one.